You are listening to Grandpa Lampshade.
Gentlemen, young and old, children of all ages, welcome to the greatest show on the internet. It sounds like I'm introducing a circus, but I'm not. We may be in clown world, but indeed, my humble opinion, it is the greatest show on the internet. It is Church of the Lampshade Show. We are back once again. Welcome. Glad to see you made it through another Tuesday. Glad to see you back here with us. The congregation, the one and only Church of the Lampshade. As always, all kinds of things to talk about. We're going to do something a little different. Later on in the show, as far as our Christian-specific segments, so I think we're going to do something different. I think it's going to be something fun. Think you're going to enjoy it. I'm looking forward to it. Kind of wanted to change things up a little bit, so we're look forward to that. If that's your cup of tea, if not, hey, we're gonna of course have our regular discussion before we get to all of that here in just a bit. This is the 74th installment. We are barreling towards 100 shows. Before you know it, it will be upon us. Looking forward to it. Who knows what we'll be discussing then, but no doubt we will have all kinds of topics. And yeah, like I said, glad you're here with us this week. As always, we like to get started recognizing those financially supporting the show. We can't go without our opening shekel shilling. No, we have fun with it. We don't make shekel shilling a burden. It's a lot of fun, and it is much appreciated. If you want to be a part of it, that information's at the bottom of the description page. We got snail mail. We got Bitcoin. We'll take any cryptocurrency pretty much because we're not proud. Just drop me an email. That's down there as well. And I'll get you a email address for your, I don't know, Monero or whatever you want to send. Or I'll do my best. I do my best anyway. So, yeah, all support much appreciated. We have 5 this week, including 3 Bitcoin Anons. So, again, thank you very much. It makes a huge difference. It all comes together. And, yeah. So, as always, we like to start off with the listener supporter mailbag. Mr. TGPL, I consider myself blessed to have your voice of reason and wisdom in this sick and mad world. Thank you again, Mr. T. Well, you know, it's y'all are a blessing for me. It really is. I do look forward to this. Not just talk, not just like, yeah, you know, we're going to be upbeat. I mean, I really look forward to these conversations that we have every week. And the fact that we only do it once a week, you know, makes it that much more special. Something to look forward to. Like if we did the show every day, like a Rush Limbaugh show, you know, only edgier. Oh my gosh. Speaking of that, I'm going to get off topic right off the bat. We're 2 minutes into the show and I'm already going off on a sidetrack, but I was riding in a vehicle the other day with somebody and they had like talk radio on and Rush Limbaugh was on. And I'm like, I'm just sitting here like, you know, cringing. I'm like, so this is what normies are listening to. Oh my gosh, you know. Imagine if this show could be on the radio like that, where like normies could be subjected to that. You could see why they don't allow it, because I mean, it's just, yeah, you know, it's like, wow, this is just, I don't know. I can't even put it into words. I was so taken aback by, you know, how lame it was. And people listen to that and they think, oh man, this guy's really taking it to the Dems now, you know, and it's just, it's like, wow. It probably didn't last, you know, 20 minutes of listening to that. And in that 20 minute time, I was just like, y'all just don't know. Y'all just don't know if you think this is good stuff. But it's just a reminder, like, you know, real investigative journalism now isn't on TV. You know, it isn't on the news. It's not on a 1 hour, 60 minutes or whatever. You know, real investigative journalism now is being carried out by amateurs on the internet. You know, that's a reality. And real, like, I don't know, I guess you would say talk radio, real edgy talk radio that gets to the truth and what people want to hear. It's on the internet. You're not going to find it on your AM radio station. You're going to hear Republican talking points. That's what it is. You know, I think during the time I was being subjected to that, they had like a caller
call in, you know, he's like, well, why are all of these corporations, you know, funding like this Black Lives Matter thing, you know, these liberals, you know, why are these CEOs? And the host of the show, you know, because I'm sitting here with the answers rattling off in my head, you know, it's like because the corporate oligarchy is in control of it, you know, and they plan to further their power, expand their power. You know, you're all just they're milking the economy for the last little bit they can. And the host's response was something like, well, you know, it's kind of a mystery. I don't really know, except that, you know, those dang liberals have been training people to get into those CEO positions or something. And it's just like, oh, awful. Anyway, off of that sidetrack. No, y'all are a blessing for me. I do. I look forward to the sitting here and getting back to if I did the show every day of the week, like if this was like a daily show, it would get tiring. You know, you'd get mentally exhausted from it. It would be almost impossible for it to not become stale. And the fact that we do this once a week, yeah, it gives me a week to recharge my batteries and to try to think of something fresh to discuss. Let's try to stay interesting. How much fun would it be if Christmas came around every month, but it's once a year? Going on there. Grandpa Lampshade, really enjoyed the COVID and Commies episode. Your rants are delightfully refreshing in these trying times. And by giving voice to the righteous indignation that I'm sure many of us are feeling, the effect, at least for myself, is very therapeutic. So more salt, please. Regards, Jackie. We're never short of salt here. Although the host sometimes gets overly salty. We have to be careful of that. A little too much salt. I'm so tired of COVID and Commies. I posted up on Gab Schwitz the other day, the social media internment camp that so many of us, you know, it's where we're banished to. I said, and the next show, I don't care if I have to talk about dog breeds. I'm talking about something besides COVID-19 and communist mobs, you know, and I'm holding to that for the most part. I mean, it's almost impossible to completely avoid. But yeah, it's just 24/7. You know, 24/7, they're pushing this. Right now, they've dialed back the commie mob thing, and they've dialed back up the COVID hysteria. So we've got that going. You know, we have mandatory mask wearing here in Texas. Still don't have a mask. So, yeah, I guess I'm an outlaw now. I mean, you know, I was thinking the other day how horrible it must be to work at. Oh, by the way, here, that takes care of our listener supporter mailbag. Thank you to all the listener supporters. It is much appreciated, and altogether, it does. It really makes a difference. It does. I've just y'all have been a blessing for me, and you know, it's just we create our own blessings. You know, people say, you know, well, you know, I hope God will bless somebody. You know, and you know, so many times you can be that blessing. You know, and in return, I try to be a blessing for y'all with what we do here, with what we discuss, you know, to make this informative, truth-seeking, you know, and entertaining. We want to have fun here. And you know, so I'm trying to be a blessing. We become a blessing for each other. And that's part of how you live your life. And we'll kind of get into more of that. Like I said, we're doing something a little different in the Christian-specific segment later. So don't want to start getting off into that now. We could probably do a whole hour on that, because it is going to be something different. I think it's going to be something fun. But anyway, no, it is. It's a blessing for me. And through this whole thing, this journey we've been on, I've been exceedingly blessed in many ways. I mean, every time it's like, well, don't know how I'm going to make it this week. You know, just something comes along, you know, and we manage to just keep trucking along. So yeah, it's just I consider myself very much blessed. So anyway, yeah, no, carrying on here, who would ever thought you'd be an outlaw now by not wearing a mask? This is how upside down, topsy turvy the world is. I was thinking the other day how it must suck to be a convenience store clerk on the night shift. You know, because like I don't know, in ancient history, what, 6 months ago, year ago, if you were a convenience store clerk working the night shift, 1 o'clock in the morning, somebody comes in wearing a mask, you get a pretty good idea your ass fixing to get robbed. But now it's, you can't even say anything. You can't be like reaching for the alarm button because it's now they're reaching for the alarm button. Now they're calling the cops on you if you aren't wearing a mask. This is how topsy turvy, upside down, and crazy the world has become. It's insane.
I mean, totally. Like, oh, you can't come in this convenience store unless you have a mask on. Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Go back out to the car and come back in with a full ski mask on and just watch them stand there and sweat. Yeah, and it's like this guy standing in line staring at me. He looks like a character, you know, a rapist from a 1978 movie, Clint Eastwood movie or something, you know. It's got the ski mask on, just the eyes sticking out, you know. It's big clerk though, 1 o'clock in the morning, some guy's wearing a full mask and you're like, is this like I'm being robbed, or are they just very concerned about catching the COVID? Might just be very conscientious. You know, he's got gloves on. Does that mean he doesn't want to leave fingerprints when he kills me? Or does it just mean he doesn't want to get it on his hands? He's trying to be safe. Oh, God, I'm so sick of hearing about safety. Everything is safety. The safety of our customers. The safety. We have to keep everybody safe. We got to have safety, safety, safety. It's all on the news. It's all on advertisement. It's all everywhere. All you hear about is safety. Safety, safety, safety. We should all just lock ourselves in a sealed, germ-proof, padded room so we can be safe. It's the only way to be safe. We're taking a risk. You're driving your car. How dare you drive your car? It's risky. You're not being safe. You could catch the flu. It's not safe. We got to be safe. Everybody's going to be sick. They're all pushing for everybody to be tested. My doctor's office has been robocalling me. This has been annoying. They've been robocalling me, wanting me to come in for a checkup. I know what they're wanting. They're trying to get everybody in there to give them one of them damn tests so they can have more positive results, because I'm sure they get money for that some way, somehow. They want the results. They got to have the positive results because now everybody's been infected. It's a virus. Of course, everybody's been infected. You know, so, you know, that way they can have more numbers to go on about. They hire, they're just skyrocketing. I don't know about y'all, but ain't nobody paying my bills except for my listener supporters. If my ass gets quarantined for 2 weeks, you know, I got to go out and tear my body up doing manual labor to help make ends meet, which I consider a blessing, by the way. I'm not pissing and moaning about that. I appreciate the opportunities. But I got to be able to work. Between listener support and a little bit I can make doing work during the day, by the way, which is really pleasant right now in Texas because it's the temperature of the sun here. We're talking like 105 up. Don't even get me started on heat indexes of 110 plus. It's miserable. Still consider it a blessing. I got to work. You're going to be saying, oh, you're positive. You got to lock yourself in your house now. You're quarantined for 2 weeks. Yeah, piss on that. I got bills to pay, got people to see, places to go, things to do. You ain't sticking the swab up my nose. You're an outlaw now. You're an outlaw because you don't wear a mask. Real outlaws don't wear masks now. And it is the sheep that walk around obediently wearing the muzzles, relishing in their cowardice because they're keeping themselves and everybody else safe. It's you who's the bad thinker. They love that too. They know deep down inside, they're just scared. They're scared of everything. When they see people not wearing the muzzle, makes them angry, makes them triggered, because you're saying, hey, I'm not one of you. I'm not a sheep like you. And it makes them feel bad about themselves. It makes them have a negative emotional reaction about themselves. So they tend to lash out at you. You know, they'll lash out at you. I say a lot of these things, you know, mass confrontation in the store. And most of the time, it's not even like an employee at the store. The employees at the store, it's your job, and they say you got to wear the muzzle. Yeah, you got to work. Yeah, that's not a reflection on you. You got to do what you got to do. You know, but so often, it's not one of the people that's making a big deal out of, this guy's not wearing a mask. It's not even one of the employees. It's another customer in the store, usually a woman, by the way. And, you know, oh my gosh, he's not wearing a mask. He's going to wear a mask. He's going to kill us all. They have a reaction because you're giving the message that you're not afraid and scared. I mean, you're not going to follow the governor's honestly illegal dictates that haven't been passed into law. You know, just saying, you know, this little act of rebellion, it's my little way of sticking it to the man. And here I said I wasn't going to go on about this. But like I say, you can't help but to talk about it. One of the things I found funny is you look at people that do wear the muzzle around willingly. And I wonder how many of them are the ones that are always obsessive about my Second Amendment and my guns. You know, how many of them are like, hey, well, they better not come for my guns because I got my Second Amendment, America. I'm ready to kick off 1776 any day now. Put your muzzle on. Yes, sir. I got my muzzle. I'm good, obedient. Really, I wonder, you know, they sit here and talk about, oh, I love America, founding fathers. They fought for freedoms. Freedoms and liberties. The heroes of old, I someday may be called upon to rise up and water the tree of liberty once again. You need to put your muzzle on, sir. We won't service you. We won't serve you here if you don't put your muzzle on. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Here, I'll pull it back up over my nose. Yes. Yes, such it is. Such as it is here in America. Anyway, the main thing I want to talk about here in our first half of the show is, believe it or not, and here I would just launched right off into COVID chat. COVID chat is constant. Can't avoid it. It's more the talk about COVID-19 is more of a plague than COVID-19 itself because it's everywhere. Safety, 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 safety. We got to keep people safe, safe, safe. Social distance, safe. I'm so sick of Anthony Fauci. Why is this guy? Why is he always? He just keeps coming back. Who decided to subject us to this guy? Trump's pretty much ignoring him now. But it's like he needs to do something. He needs like Guantanamo Bay, the guy or something. I'm ready for some real action. Put him in a camp. Just get him out of the public eye. We don't need to know about it. You don't have to do it publicly. Send a black ops team. Get this guy out of here so we don't have to hear him anymore. He's parading around, talking about how we got to be safe. That's a disaster. How we're all going to die. So tiring of it. Now we talk about these things, and I thought we'd talk a little bit this week about, you know, because I seek the truth. That's what we do on the show is the focus of this show, period. That was always the intended focus of this show from episode one. We always seek the truth, and we try to hit the mark. We're human. We might miss it sometimes, but I thought we'd talk a little bit about, because sometimes we get into this stuff, and like last week's show, I think, was a good example of that. We get into these things, and people, you know, will from time to time be like, well, now are you just completely black-pilling? Although the whole black, red, blue pill, white pill, all that's kind of getting stale, honestly, But, you know, it's a term everybody's familiar with, so we're going to use it. People will be like, well, GPL, you're just getting black-pilled, aren't you? You're just getting black. I thought we'd talk a little bit about the difference in these different difference between all these states of mind. Well, because we're not black-pilled here. I hope you're not. I'm not. I'm certainly not. What we try to deal with is reality. That is folks, just what I try to do. When I sit down here every week, On, you know, usually on a Saturday, sometimes on Sundays, whenever, but most of the time on a Saturday when I record Tuesday's show. Everything I do from start to show to the very finish. The hardest part of the show, a lot of times, by the way, this is just, once again, another one of those sidetrack things. One of the hardest parts for me doing the show is the intro and the outro. It really is. You don't know how many times I start recording the show and like I get a minute in, maybe. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not, I don't like that. Yeah, I can't get it rolling. Once I get it rolling, you know, I'm good. And the same thing at the end of the show, it's like, you know, and it's easier when I mess up the beginning because I had barely started. I just scrub it, start again. But at the end of the show, you don't want to flub it up, you know, and it's like, okay, how can I make this sound like a smooth closeout? You know, and so many times I just start stumbling over my own tongue. It's tough in the lampshade world. Anyway, sidetracking. Let's reel things back in. But no, from the time I start to the time I finish the show, the entire show, you know, is it true? That's what we go for. Is it true? 30 years ago, that wouldn't be a controversial thing in modern Bolshevik 2.0 clown world. It is a controversial thing. The truth is the most controversial thing you can probably say. No, absolutely. It is the most controversial thing you can say. The truth is what is demonized
and attacked. That's what we try to do. So what we have to do here in the show is the truth. You know, and, you know, things aren't real rosy sometimes. And I'll have people like, well, you're just getting blackpilled. Is that the thing? You're just getting blackpilled. And I was thinking about this. We talked a little bit about this week about understanding the difference between these different states of mind. You know, we talk about reality here. And whether that reality is a pleasant one, whether it's a, you know, an unpleasant thing, but it just is. And sometimes, you know, we talk about some very negative, nasty things because that is the reality. You know, to stay sane in this world, much less to try to affect any sort of change, you have to at least know what the situation is. You know, one of the primary things in a battle, like if you were leading an army, is good intel. You got to know where the enemy troops are, what their movements are, what kind of armor they have, you know, where they're positioning, try to figure out what their plans are. You know, you have to know the situation. You have to know the reality. And that's kind of why I think this is important. We need to know. We need to understand the world around us. We need to know the reality of our situation, whether that's good, bad, in between. Now, sticking with that analogy, if you were leading an army and you're all proud because you got an army of 20,000 guys together, you're out there camped, you know, like it's old times. Everybody's sitting around polishing their shields and sharpening their swords, and you're looking out 20,000 man army. We're going to kick some ass. Well, then your intel comes back and it's like, okay, we went out, we scattered out the enemy camp. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And man, they got 100,000 guys. They got 30,000 cavalry. And you'd be like, you know, what would you be like? Quit being negative. Kill this messenger. No, you would be like, oh shit. You know, whoa, maybe my initial plan to do a head on attack and just confront them, right? You know, just head on in the middle of battlefield. I might not be a really good idea. Might want to change tactics here. Might want to get them in the forest. Might want to break up into smaller groups. Do some guerrilla warfare. So the point is, you need to know the reality of the situation. And that's what it's, you know, again, sometimes that's not a pleasant thing. But people will say, well, you're being blackpilled. So what would be the difference when reality is an unpleasant thing? When the truth is something, you know, it's not real rosy. Is it blackpilling? What makes the difference? Well, I'll tell you what makes a difference to me. To me, if you say blackpilled, you know, and if you say, oh, well, you know, I'm blackpilled, or you're blackpilling. To me, the insinuation here, there's a connotation here of giving up, isn't there? You say, oh, well, I'm totally blackpilled. You get the idea that the person is just giving up. I think blackpilling in the correct context for our discussion today is being in a state of mind where you're ready to give up. You know, I'm totally, you know, it's this group of people, they're totally blackpilled. They're gaslighted. They're just, we can't win. I give up. We don't do blackpill here. We do reality. Blackpill is when you throw your hands up in there and say, we're giving up. Now, that doesn't mean, like, because you don't give up, you're going to win. This isn't a movie. It's in the comic book. It isn't a story in a book. This is reality. And, you know, not giving up doesn't equate to, oh, that means you're going to win. It just means you're not going to give up. And that's the hardest thing to do. Anybody can stand up for something. Anybody can stand up for what's right. Anybody can stand up on the battlefield when they know they're going to win, or they're really confident they're going to win. What's tough is when you're going to stand up on the battlefield and you're looking across there and they got 100,000 guys. You know your army's only 20. But you're going to engage anyway because you're the only thing standing between them and your homeland. We're still using the battlefield analogy here, so stick with me. Black pills, you throw everything down, everybody runs off. We can't beat these guys, run off. That's a real sifting thing, isn't it? When it looks like a reality doesn't look so good. Everybody can be big shit on the battlefield of life when it looks like everything's stacked in your favor. That doesn't take any courage. What takes courage is when you say, you know, I'm going to see this thing through. I'm going to see this thing out to the end, even though it doesn't look really good. I always think of the Battle of the Alamo being a Texas person, you know, I'm pretty much every, and it works because everybody's pretty familiar with the Battle of the Alamo. If not, you can do just like a quick research of it. But you have this handful of people holding out and the mission, which they've kind of basically turned into a fort. And you have these thousands and thousands of Mexican troops out there, and these guys are holding out. And they've kind of got a hope that maybe some reinforcements might show up and help them out. But the odds are, I mean, they were being realistic. There's not a person that you, I guarantee you, there's not a man there who didn't look out at all those thousands of troops and know, you know, we're not going to beat them into a retreat. Yet they didn't run off. They held their ground anyway. They stood there and looked at it. And they were realistic about the situation. They look at it and it's like, whew, counting our guys, and we're outnumbered, what, 1,000 to 1, 100 to 1, whatever the case may be. They didn't run off, didn't try to sneak out and run away. They held around. Yeah, they clung to the hope maybe some reinforcements would show up, but they knew that was just kind of a hope. I want to talk about the other flip side of this, which is this idea. I understand you want to keep morale up. I get that. But I don't like the idea of false hope. You know, a perfect example in our modern day is the Q thing. You know, everybody knows about the Q thing. It's just look, I wish it was real. I wish patriots were really in charge, but we're looking around here and I don't see anything that looks anything remotely like that. Weren't Hillary and Obama supposed to have been already arrested and headed to Guantanamo Bay last year at this time? According to, I'm going to get flooded now with Q people. Oh, you just don't understand the Q posts, huh? Prove to me Q isn't real. It's my favorite response. Prove it isn't real. Prove to me UFOs aren't real. I mean, I don't know. Prove to me whatever isn't real. That's just a misnomer. From the get-go, just as off-putting for me as the idea of giving up in the face of an unpleasant reality is people that don't want to face the reality at all, and they try to create a fake rosy scenario. Sticking with our Alamo comparison, imagine if Davy Crockett or one of them guys stood up in front of everybody and was like, "We got these guys beat. There ain't that many of them. They're scared to death of us." Everybody would have looked at that. That would have actually brought morale down, wouldn't it? I think it would. If you looked up and some of the guys that you're counting on to have your back, and they sit there, look, you think they're insane. You're looking around, you're like, dude, the reality is we're outnumbered multiple times to one. They just raised the black flag, which means no quarter. They're saying there ain't no surrender. Of course, they wouldn't have surrendered anyway, but it's irrelevant. They're saying no mercy. Don't sit here and say, oh, well, this situation's not so bad. Ha ha. Make some lemonade. Life's just given us a few lemons. But they stood the ground anyway. They stood their ground anyway. They didn't have to make up a false reality. Nobody came up to the men and said, made up a story. We just got word that reinforcements are coming, boys. Don't worry. We got this. Oh, you got it. They stood anyway. You have to have a little bit of faith. It's hard for me to have faith in people. It is. This is something I struggle with. But you got to have at some point, you got to have faith in somebody. You have faith in people. Whether it works out or not, that's on you. You get, you know, as far as having faith on me, you just got to. You got to have faith that people can face the reality and they won't run away. As you don't have to make up a fake rosy scenario just to get anybody on board. You don't. I just hate the idea that you got to make up a we've got this. Patriots are in charge. Well, Patriots in charge. Why do we need to do anything? We'll just sit back. The White Hats have it now. The deep state is on the run. Hillary and Obama are on a plane to Guantanamo Bay right now. I think that does worse in the end for morale. Because some people know the Q stuff's bullshit, but they support it in the name of it keeps morale up. People feel like, you know, we got to win this. But see, I disagree with that notion. A lie is a lie. And I don't think in the end a lie is good for morale. Because at some point in time it comes crashing down.
You know, you get people to say buy into the Q idea, and then, you know, a year goes by and it's obvious that Patriots aren't in charge. It's obvious that, yeah, the deep state's on the run, but it's a charge towards the entire rest of the nation. Trump looks like he's been going in the White House and being waterboarded himself every night. I mean, this man looks horrible. And when people realize that that was a lie, that's more crashing down. That's more crushing for people's morale than if you just tell them the truth from the get-go. But I'm never talking about just giving up.
Well, we're just giving up.
Why would you give up? Life is a struggle. You know, I mean, life is just, that's the way life works. It's kind of one of those aspects about it that sucks, but it's also a reminder that you're still alive. You know, when does your struggle end? When you're dead and in the ground. Every day that you get up and struggle to do what you need to do, to live your life the best you can, it's a reminder. That struggle is a reminder that you're still alive. Still got a chance. You're still going to be able to see something different, whether that be good or bad. Once you go to the grave, you'll see nothing. This is your time to affect anything, to make a change, any aspect of this life, any little bit will be over. You're just in the ground and quickly forgotten. So always remember, I mean, when it comes to the show, when we discuss unpleasant realities and things like that, we're never blackpilling. Because again, blackpilling, as far as I'm concerned, means you're just giving up. So I mean, we're giving up the struggle. We're just giving up. Surrender. Maybe they'll lead us, be like the conservatives. Maybe they'll come for us last if we explain to them for the 6 millionth time that we're really not a racist for using terms like master bedroom, or, you know, I wrote some code and used the terms master and slave. I didn't realize it was implicitly racist. You have to listen to the Friday installment, by the way, of the Daily Nationalist to get that reference. It is, yes, we have reached that level of ridiculousness. It's not about giving up. We try to address reality because in the end, that's what's best for morale. We don't try to create a false rosy scenario. We're not going to ignore wins when we see them, when something good happens. We just try to deal with the truth. Try to figure things out. Yeah. In the end, we have to struggle all the way to the end. You know, and we're about to get into the Christian specific segment here, but, you know, if you're a Christian believer, you know, you should understand by now that the whole point is when the Lord returns that he finds you struggling. No matter what you're facing, you're supposed to be struggling. The point isn't for the Lord to return and find you sitting on your ass, looking at your clock, looking at your watch, looking at your calendar, going, about time you got here. Do this for me. He needs to return to find you working. He needs to return to find you engaged in the struggle, no matter what the odds may be on that. So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the pre-sermon discussion this week on that note. I'm looking at the clock. We're going to make an effort this week to get in on time. So we're going to wrap up on that note, get into the Christian specific message. I have lots of non-believers contact me and tell me they dig it. They dig it. This is like, I don't buy into the Christian thing. I'm a, I don't know, reincarnated Viking warlord or whatever, but I like the topics. I think it's good stuff. So you're welcome. Everybody's welcome into the Church of the Lampshade. You can come in, fill the pews up. We won't front you out. We're very warm here. It's a very warm congregation here, so you're welcome to stay around. I think most people do. I have a lot of non-believers say I still like it. I don't buy into it, but I like it. That's okay. Don't ask you to buy into it. You're welcome. You can turn it off after that. You only got 30 minutes this week if you did turn it off of it, but, you know, at this point, but that's up to you. But the rest of you, if you're going, thank you for joining us. Send me some shekels. Information's at the bottom. Bottom of the page information. Yeah. I'll get you with the last minute shekel shilling as you go on out the door. But I think everybody wants to stay around. It's be fun time. So the rest of you, believer or not, get on in here, fill those pews. It's time for this week's sermon here in the Church of the Lampshade. I'm checking my coffee right now. Still got some. Let me look in here. Yeah. Still got coffee. I'm not even going to have to do a reheat We're going right in, right into this week's sermon, putting on the crazy old West preacher frock coat, whatever. No tell what kind of craziness we're going to talk about this week. So get in here and fill the pews. Let's get to our Christian specific message this week. So as you get settled in, I thought we're going to have a little, we can do things a little different. Like I said at the opening of the show this week. And another reason I started the Christian specific sermon this week a little early is I want to spend a little more time, have a little freedom here, spend a little more time. And let's be honest, the earlier discussion would have just wound up back talking about COVID or something and told y'all I just can't anymore. I thought we'd discuss a little bit this week, just kind of a general discussion. I'm not really going to sit here and explain scripture to you this week. I've kind of fallen into a rut of doing that, and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, just sit there, read some scripture and kind of talk about it and try to figure out what it means together. I like doing that. But I've been thinking all week because I contemplate these sort of things all the time. You see, even when we're not doing the show, takes a week's worth of prayer and thinking and contemplating different things just to plant seeds in my mind of what we might discuss. And I thought what we might do this week, like I say, some a little different, which is kind of a general discussion about what it means to walk with the Lord, what it really means. And what I mean by that is just kind of generally speaking, because people, I think a lot of times get hung up on, you know, like it's this difficult task. It's this horrible struggle. And a lot of things in the scripture kind of make us think that way. You know, it's illustrated that way. It's a narrow gate. It's the path least taken. It's a rocky road. It's hard because the rest of the world's on the highway to hell. They're on the highway to hell. Yeah, no, I won't subject you to singing. But, you know, so we get this mindset and we get to thinking about how difficult it is, you know, to walk with the Lord, to walk as what's it mean? How does it mean in terms of how you live your life? And I thought we'd share some insights, personal insights, my views on some of this week. And, you just got to, because it's easier than you think. And I hope some non-believers did hang around, because I think it's funny when we get into some of this stuff, and as a non-believer, you're going to hear this stuff and you're going to be like, well, I'm already doing that. Yes, you are. In some ways, you yourself are actually kind of walking with the Lord. You just haven't admitted it yet. It's not as complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it's not nearly as complicated as you think. And the closer, the more in tune with God you get, the more it just comes naturally. It's not something you're just trying to have to think about every step of the way, every day. Think about it. And I thought we'd talk about some of that in practical terms. That having been said, I wasn't even going to do any specific scripture reading this week. I remember words of scripture. I remember verses of scripture off the top of my head. I can do that. What I can't do is I can't sit there and go, that's from Matthew 23, verses 35-40. I had to look it up. My brain is full of irrelevant information, like cereal commercials from the 70s. I still have those in there. Episodes of Speed Racer I watched when I was 8 years old on a black and white TV. I still remember those, you know, but I can't. I need to clear my cache, you know. I need to defragment my mental file. But, I can remember things off the top of my head, but I have to look up and see what's the chapter and verse. So I sound like, you know, a real preacher there. Real preacher got to say, wait, that's from. Thank goodness we have the internet, because it makes things faster. I don't have to sit here and thumb through and find it. So I changed my mind. I said we're going to do a couple of scripture verses because I think everybody likes that. And I think it'll tie in later. We're just going to go ahead and read them right now. And instead of sitting here explaining them, I think they'll fall into place by what we're talking about. So let's start off with Matthew 22, verses 35 through 40. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, imagine that, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, I think that's interesting. I said, well, I wasn't going to sit here and explain scripture, but I can't help it. You know, the question is being asked, and they're telling you right up front that they weren't asking it from a standpoint that they really wanted to know. It was a trick. He's trying to trap him up, trying to trick him. But even that serves a purpose. So then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, "Master, which is the great commandment of the law?" Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Go ahead and jump over here. Let's do our second verse of scripture. It's a single verse, Mark chapter 2, verse 27. "And he said unto them," this is Jesus, "and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." Now, I'm just going to leave that all kind of hanging out there as we get off into our discussion this week. And I think as we rock along, you'll understand why those scripture verses are relevant without sitting here and trying to just go through them as we go. So what does it mean? What does it mean to walk with the Lord, to be a Christian believer, to have faith? Sounds like a big, complicated thing. You get to learn a rule book. You have to look at your Bible and you're like, it's a lot of reading. It's a lot of laws. It's a lot of rules. And we just read, Jesus said, but a few short verses. He's like, yeah, this pretty much sums it up right here. If you're covering these two things, you're probably in pretty good shape. It's not necessarily as hard as you may think. I'm going to use a personal example. This is me. This is just, you know, people tell me sometimes, they're like, you know, people know me IRL. They're like, "You're jaded. You're so cynical." And I'm like, no, I'm just realistic. It's kind of like our earlier discussion. I'm not black-pilled, just dealing with reality for what it is. I just have experience. I'm not cynical. I just have experience. And as a part of that, I pretty much live my life expecting people to screw me over. I mean, that's just the way I live my life. I expect it. And so often I'm not disappointed because it comes about. People are what they are. You know, you can have people that they your best friend in the world, but as soon as you tell them something they don't want to hear, they'll toss you under the bus. You know, they sit there and agree with you. Trust me, when you've been through people who have sat there for years cussing the media about how they lie and you know, how they can't stand them and they hate the liberal media. And then you have the same media slander you, write an article about you, and those same people toss you under the bus because all of a sudden it's like they never knew you. They heard about an article written about you and boom, they believe everything the lying media that they've been cussing to you for years, and they don't know who you are. They believed every last bit of it. Go through that. Trust me, you will live your life with the expectation that people are going to screw you over. But that having been said, you when I say that, you probably think I go around like, you know, approaching people in a manner that is negative, you know, but I don't. I live my life. I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just trying to use this as an example. I treat people with the benefit of the doubt. You know, I could use that as an excuse, this attitude that I more or less expect people at some point to screw me over, as an excuse to keep people away, as an excuse to not trust anybody. It's an excuse to really, quite honestly, be kind of a dick to people. But I don't do that. I try to treat people fair. I try to be straight up with people. I try to be honest with people. Yes, in the back of my mind, if somebody screws me over, I'm not probably in all likelihood, I'm not going to be shocked by that. Not going to be surprised, but that's not the way I approach them. I approach them as though they're not. I approach people, I interact with people as though they're not going to screw me over, as though they have honest intentions, as though they're just in a fair manner. I don't try to screw people. I don't have that attitude of, well, because you know people like this. People that have the attitude that I'm just going to screw them before they can screw me because everybody's going to screw me over. I don't do that. I try to treat people fairly. If they screw me over, that's on them. I'm not naive and stupid. If I see what's coming, then I will take action, you know, appropriately so. But I approach people I treat people as though they're not. Guess what? You just loved your neighbor as yourself. Just because you treat people fairly, even though in your mind you may be like, if they screw you over, you're not going to be surprised by it because you kind of pretty much expect at this point that people are that way. But you don't screw them over, you see. You're treating them fairly. Treating them right. You're treating people like you would want to be treated. Guess what? You just loved your neighbor as yourself. Congratulations. You're walking with the Lord. It wasn't really that hard, was it? Sometimes in your day-to-day life, people say something you think that's kind of cheeky, you know? I don't know how I want to take that.
He done disrespect me.
But upon contemplation, you decide, just let it go, you know? Am I going to make a big deal over this that I may not even be reading it right anyway? You know, am I going to stop everything? And what did you mean by that, buddy? I might just punch your lights out. You might hear, maybe somebody may say something. Somebody you deal with in your life, maybe it's your job. And they say something, you disagree with it. And you're thinking, some bitch, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to line your ass out. You might do that. Maybe a time for that. Or you may read the room and the situation, and you may think things through. And you may be like, you know, I'm just going to let that go. Yeah. How many times have you done that? Hopefully more than once, because there's time for confrontation, but there's a time just not to get hung up on every little thing. If you're one of those people that turn everything into a confrontation, nobody wants to be around you. It's a miserable way to live your life, because sometimes you just got to let it go. People aren't going to agree with you on every single thing. And sometimes somebody's going to pop off about something. And you're going to be like, well, you know, I think I'm going to line this guy out. Maybe sometimes it's appropriate to do that, but there are going to be times when you're going to make the decision. Just let it go. I kind of don't know how I want to take that remark. Honestly, I'm kind of insulted by it. I might blow this situation up, but then you think about it and you're like, I'm just going to let it go. It's just not worth it. What am I going to gain from this? Congratulations, you turned the other cheek. Wow, imagine that. It wasn't this big complicated thing where you let people stomp all over your freaking face every day and piss all over you. It wasn't that. It was just letting something go. That's it. That's all it is. That's it. That is turn the other cheek. I've just illustrated it for you. Well, that's one of the ones non-believers get really hung up on. Oh, you're just going to be a doormat. That's not what it is. It's just simply saying sometimes you just decide to let things go. It's not make a big deal over it. And it's always a choice. If you're being oppressed and denied justice, this is something that God has judgment against. The Bible is full of condemnation from the Lord against the denial of justice. If those in power are stomping a boot in your freaking face, you're not turning the other cheek. You're just getting your face stomped on. If you're being oppressed, if there is no justice in the land, you're being oppressed. That's not turning the other cheek. Turning the other cheek is a voluntary thing. You just decide to let it go, but you have that power. You can choose to confront them, and sometimes that's appropriate. And sometimes you make that conscious decision. Just let it go. It ain't that big a deal. I'm not going to go have a drive-by shooting because he done disrespect me. It's just not worth it. I'm not going to go shoot up somebody's birthday party because he done disrespect me. You see what I'm saying? It's a choice. When those who have power over you oppress you, that ain't turning the other cheek. That's just oppression. It's just a denial of justice. People make these things more complicated than they have to be. And so often, like I said, even non-believers, they're doing these things already.
There's, I can't be a Christian. Why not?
I mean, if you just can't believe in this stuff, then I guess you can't. You know, okay, whatever. It'll be like warm climates. But when it's like, I couldn't be a Christian because of things like turn the other cheek. And I guarantee you, if I looked in your day-to-day life, more than likely you're already doing that. You just think it's this other thing that has been illustrated by cowards in the modern cuck church who justify their cowardice. We talked earlier about people that get mad. It's not employees that are being forced to wear a cuck mask. It's the other customers who look at you just like, yeah, I'm blowing that shit off. I'm not doing it. And it insults it. It triggers them emotionally because they're cowards and they know it deep down inside. So they want to condemn you because because you're reminding them. And this is the modern cuck church. They run around and say, oh, this is what turning the other cheek means. It means being a coward like me. See, I'm actually brave. We're just turning the other cheek. I would totally be standing up for what's right. I would totally be making a stand. But I can't because Jesus won't let me. It's making me turn the other cheek. It's been redefined. Stupid. So it's not that hard. You're probably already doing it.
I can't do the turn the other cheek.
If I looked into your life, I had a magic ball and I could look through your life, I'd be like, well, dude, you're already doing that. What do you mean you can't turn the other cheek? You've already been living your life like that. You just didn't realize it because somebody gave you this stupid illustration that it meant being like a coward and a doormat and letting people run all over you. It's not even what it means. I talked earlier about blessing each other. And I don't have a specific scripture line here, but it says in the scripture, you know, that what good does it do to say, you know, if somebody comes to you hungry and you say, go and be hungry no more when you have the power to feed them? What good is your faith if you have the power to feed the hungry and you say, go in good faith and be not hungry any longer? Says your faith without deeds are meaningless. And I kind of referenced this a little bit earlier and I stopped myself because I knew we were going to get into this. This part of the show is getting ahead of myself. See, I'm so anxious to do the sermon this week. Go, people. I hope God will bless you. Won't you bless them? That will be a blessing. Then you're an instrument of God. Imagine that. People say, well, how can I do the work? How can I know what God wants me to do? Start off by being a blessing for somebody. Be a blessing for somebody because they look at what you do and they're like, wow, God really blessed me with that. Well, then guess what? You just did a work of the Lord. Even if you're not, you'd be like a non-believer and you done did a blessing from God for somebody. You were that blessing by your actions. Even sit there and talk all day about, oh, well, God bless you. Well, okay. You know, but if you have the ability to actually be that blessing, the God's sitting there going, what the hell are you waiting on? Here's your chance. Step up. Be a blessing for somebody. Somebody gives you an opportunity. You're out there. You don't have no work. You get the opportunity to do a work. Somebody says, you know what? I'll give you a shot. I'll put you on. I'll hire you on. You know? And you're like, man, this job's a blessing. Praise the Lord. I know it got me a job. Been looking for a job for 6 months. God bless me. I got a job. I'm going to have a check. I can pay my bills now. Praise the Lord. But you see, you're obligated now to be a blessing for the person who is giving. You've got to be a blessing back to them. You see, if you, that's a blessing from God. And then you spend all your time at work screwing off. You're to spend all your time trying not to do anything, trying to milk the clock. Maybe they'll give you some money for doing nothing. See, you're not being a blessing back to them. It goes around. It's a blessing from the Lord. Yeah, but you got to be a blessing back. You got to pay that back in a sense. You want to pay that back. That's your praise to God for this blessing. No, it's action. It's a thank you, Lord, for this blessing. But then you piss all over it by your actions. How do you think that plays? God's not stupid. Knows what you're doing. Your words are empty. They're meaningless. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me with this job. While I go hide behind this shade tree and hope nobody sees me while I'm looking on my phone on Facebook. Milking the clock. Robbing them. It's a blessing for me, but now I'm going to try to steal from them by making them pay me while I dick off and not do anything. Got to be a blessing. That's your praise for God is by saying, well, this is a blessing from God. So my praise to God and thanks for him is I'm going to try to put in an honest day's labor. Is that really that hard? Probably already doing that anyway, aren't you? Woo! This walking with the Lord thing. It's tough. It's tough. Read in the earlier scripture, this is what the prophet and the laws hang on. And we had our other second scripture. Oh, man, if you read through the Old Testament, if you ever decide to read the Bible, you get into the Old Testament, you read so many of these laws, you know, and I'm just going to focus in on Sabbath days here. And that's why we used Mark 2:27 as an illustration, because it says later in the New Testament, you know, they say that, you know, one for one man, one day is more special. It's more sacred than another to the next man. His faith says every day is the same and a man should move forward in faith. And that seems contradictory to what you read in the Old Testament.
This is a Sabbath day. It is unto the Lord, and you shall keep it holy.
Why? Because this day of the week, you see people get into these arguments about, well, I believe the Sabbath is truly Saturday and not Sunday. Oh, no. The Sabbath day is surely Sunday. It's the day of the Lord. You got to keep that day special. You got to keep that day holy. Are you keeping the Sabbath week of whatever that God dictated in the Old Testament? Because he also said that you were supposed to keep this certain week or this certain couple of weeks. Those are supposed to be sacred Sabbath times too. Are you keeping those too? No! Are we going to argue which day on this calendar is God's day? And completely missing the point. Think about these things. Why? Why did God say, you shall have the seventh day, you shall take, you can, you're not allowed to do anything. You're not allowed to do anything. This day, no. It's my day, it's holy day. Why did God command such a thing? Why do you think he did that? You think he really gives a shit about what day on the calendar it is? I mean, seriously, does that really even make any sense to you that God is like, I'm circling this day on the calendar, and by golly, you better be keeping it holy. If you're not, you're making the list. No, he's just requiring you to take a day off. This is an agrarian society. This was an agricultural, livestock-based society. It was just what kind of animals you had, what kind of grain you could grow. This was the society. I don't know how many of you listening are self-employed, but this will ring truer for you than those who are employees. Because when you're self-employed, you can really get you really get sucked into where you just work all the time. If you know somebody is self-employed, they're in business for themselves, more than likely they work all the time, 7 days a week. Back in those days, they had slaves, they had servants, and they're damn sure it would work them 7 days a week. We got crops to grow. We got livestock got to be tended. These things have to be taken care of. We got work to do. There's no end to the work. You got to work. Got to work. We got to keep food coming in. We got to keep this thing going. We got to keep this ship afloat. See, God made a Sabbath day so you would have, God was commanding, look, you got to have a day off. But see, people would have an excuse. People would have an excuse to be like, man, but this is, yeah, but this is important. So it was framed in the context of God is telling you to do this. You can, the highest authority has said, no, you're taking a day off and you're going to rest. You're going to let your body heal. Your body's wore out. You've been physically digging by plowing by hand out in the field. You know what? You got to take a day. Let your body, let your mind rest. God says, God's basically saying, look, I get this, you know, 6 days out of the week, your brain, your mind is mostly just going to be focused on trying to earn a living on what you got to do next. When you're going to get this grain in the ground? You know, when you're going to go work sheep? When are you going to shear the sheep? He understands you're going to be focused on these things. He says, you got to. But he's also saying you've got to take a day off. And during that day off, when you're resting, spend a little time thinking about me. Spend a little time trying to get to know who I am, trying to figure out what I'm trying to do with all of this. Just figure it out.
This week is a Sabbath week.
God's saying, take a vacation. I'm commanding it. Take a vacation. While you're taking that vacation, how about spending a little bit of that time thinking about me? About what I want to do. It's not that hard. It's that complicated. When you speak of the prophets and the law hang on this. When you think of the prophets of old, you think of these, what do you think? You think of these like great men, you know, did these great things. Probably, how many times have you thought, man, I wish I could be like the prophet, fill in the blank, whichever one it was, you know, because they were doing these great things. They were performing miracles. Man, look at this prophet. I just read about the prophet in the scripture, and he called down fire from heaven. Lift that, just burn that shit all up. Called down fire from heaven. I wish I could do that. I'd be calling down fire on a lot of some bitches. And that's what you're thinking. I know that's what you're thinking. I know some of you have suffered from prophet envy. It's okay. Everybody suffers from prophet envy at some time or another. These guys were close to God, could call down fire from heaven.
They could call down hailstones. They could call down a plague. They could go out, call down a drought that would kill thousands of people because they angered the Lord, the prophets. And if I could be like the prophets, had all this power, I'd call down this. No, seriously. You know what the prophets were? They were narrators. That's it. I'm not putting them down. I'm not trying to belittle the prophets here. But seriously, the reality is the prophets were nothing more than narrators. God showed up and said, okay, this is what I'm doing. You go to the people and you tell them, do this, do that, do the other. And then you say this, and I'm sending fire down to heaven and burning this stuff up. They were like the ringmaster in a circus. Nobody sits there when the ringmaster says, if I may draw your attention over here, ladies and gentlemen, to ring number 3, the flying trapeze. You wouldn't sit there and say, man, that guy with the microphone is a heck of a trapeze artist, ain't he? No, he's just the announcer. And that's all the prophets did. I mean, they had faith. They suffered for being the announcer. But all they were doing was being the announcer. God showed up and said, look, word for word, he gave them a script. He gave them a script to read. This is what you say. I bet some of the prophets wrote that stuff down, because I would. If God like appeared to be like literally like a light, blinding light, and said, okay, go tell the following things to the people. Don't miss a word of it. I'd be like, God, let me get a pen out here. Can I record this? Because I'm going to forget this. I'm going to shorthand this or something. And then be later reading my squiggly ass cursive writing going, what did he say? What did I write there? Was that blessing? Was that curse? I can't tell what the heck that was. I wrote too fast. Ugly handwriting. Ugly handwriting. The prophets were narrators, folks. God just told them, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to send fire down. You go tell them I'm sending fire down. They were calling the fire down. It wasn't theirs to call. It was God's power. God was going to do it one way or the other. But he said, you know what? The people need to know why this is happening. I can't. I'm bringing my judgment down. I'm fixing to drop the hammer. I'm fixing to burn some people up. You're getting a sneak preview of hell right here because I'm sending some fire and brimstone. I'm roasting somebody. But the people need to know why. When I do what I'm going to do, I've set my mind. I've set my heart against this people. I'm sending down a plague. I'm sending down a curse. I'm sending down some fire. I don't want the people sitting around going, what's this about? Why? It must be some sort of weird natural disaster. They can't have an out. They can't have an excuse. So he'd go to one of these guys and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. So this is what you're going to do. You're going to go tell these people, if you don't straighten your shit up, this is what's coming on this day. And sometimes prophets would be like, Lord, they're not going to listen. And God's like, I know they're not going to listen. But I got to warn them. I ain't going to have none of this. Nobody told us they were going to do, God was going to do this unfair. Prophet's like, why do I got to do this? They're going to listen. God's like, I know they're not going to listen. But they're not going to be able to say no one warned them either. And method it out. And who knows, few of them may straighten their shit out. They may repent. They were narrators. God said, that's what I'm going to do. You go tell them. You're just the ringmaster. You're just sitting there telling them. They're not the trapeze artists. Do you think the apostles went around healing people? No, God healed people. He healed people. Look, we're going to go in here. We're going to heal these people. Go put your hands on them and say, I'm doing this in the name of the Lord Jesus. That way they will understand that, you know, this whole Jesus is the Son of God thing is real. It will be demonstrated by laying on of hands, by healing. You want to be closer to what those guys were, then try to figure out what God is doing. Try to jump in on it. Yeah. I mean, really, it's not like we don't have an instruction manual. Why doesn't God appear to me and give me instructions? Because he's already got it. Pretty much all of it's written down here. And it's pretty much been explained. I'm sending some people out here to explain some of this stuff as well. You expect God what?
to keep repeating himself over and over again when he's really pretty much already, it's all written down. I mean, what you're wanting to be told, he's pretty much already given you instructions for. So what's the problem? What's the hang up? You want to see a miracle? You want to be a blessing? Figure out what God's doing. And then just join in, figure out how can I contribute to that? I think God's doing that. I think this could be something that the Lord is doing. You can jump in, be a part of it. What can I do? What can I do to be a part of this? Help out. Then you're kind of lining yourself up to be like one of the prophets. You're just like a ringmaster. You're just an announcer or something. Whatever it is, I don't know. But the point is to just kind of figure out where things are going, what God is doing, and try to be lined up with that. Try to be in tune with God. The more in tune with God you are, just naturally, the more your life is going to flow in a direction to where you're doing the things God, you see, quote unquote, miracles. You see more blessings because you just get lined up with, well, this is what God is doing. Not that hard. Not really. But we make it complicated. The devil wants you to think that it's complicated. Don't even try it. You imagine if you lived your life, your regular earthly life, never taking on anything that wasn't easy. Can you imagine living your life that way? Just, I'm not going to do anything that isn't easy. I have decided I'm going to live my entire life never doing anything difficult. Never do anything that is a challenge. Imagine living that way. Yet the devil wants to convince you that it's difficult. He wants to convince you this is something you shouldn't even undertake, really. This Jesus thing ain't for you. Too complicated, too hard, too many rules, too many laws to try to figure out. Who knows? You're probably just going to sin anyway. Well, yeah, you are. Then what's the point? What's the point? It's not that hard, folks. It sounds complicated. It's not. Most of you, even if you're unbelievers, are probably doing a lot of this stuff already anyway. You're just convinced that you're not. You somehow just you way outside of the bounds. You're probably not that far outside the bounds.
But my sins.
Yeah, everybody's got them. Congratulations, you're not special. Guess what? Everybody's got them. Everybody's got sins. Everybody still commits sins. Even people that you put on a pedestal, they all commit sins. Nobody walking this earth today doesn't commit sins. You're not special. Sorry to inform you. That doesn't give you an out. You still have to try to repent of that and do as few of them as possible. Try to be. Just be grateful. Just be grateful that you're allowed to do that. You don't live under a you committed one sin, now you're going to hell thing. You have a redemption. You have a way of forgiveness. Be grateful for that. It was very expensive. It was bought for you at a very high price. Be grateful for that. Be grateful with your actions by trying to live as upright a life as you can, which hopefully you're already doing anyway. We're going to wrap up on that note. I said earlier, it's always hard to wrap up the show. I never know when to quit. It's real tempting to start rambling, but I think we've covered everything we want to cover here. And once again, appreciate you. Special thank you to those financially supporting the show. All the rest of you, I'm always glad for you to join the congregation. We have great topics and great discussions. Always look forward to it every week. Hopefully you do too. And we will be back next week right here for the Church of the Lampshade.